Live from the Jukebox Junction Cafe here in Bethel, North Carolina, it's the Brett Chappell Show, along with head coach Brett Chappell. This is Chad Upton, the Black Bears, coming off another win last night against their rival Brevard to set themselves up in what we think is going to be pretty good positioning heading into the first round of the playoffs. And as you wake up this morning, coach, with really the regular season now in the rearview mirror, and you look ahead to the playoffs, you've probably got to feel pretty good about where your team stands on both sides of the ball right now.
You know, finished good last night. Obviously, getting that win was important for us as far as playoff seeding. So we're, anticipating hopefully getting a good seed this afternoon when those come out. But, looking at the game last night, we wanted to make sure we just took care of Brevard senior night. You know, it was good to be able to have those kids out there on the field with the parents and to see all those people, not only the football, but you had cheerleading and ROTC and band. And, it's good to be able to represent and show all the support that we have there in our community. But, it was good to come out with a win.
You went out there and I thought played excellent on both sides. Again, one of the things when we'll start, thinking about defensively, one of the things that impressed me so much last night was that obviously we were hitting well and really were able to dictate what we wanted to do, I think, defensively. What really, really impressed me last night, too, was that we were exactly where we were supposed to be. And I remember a reverse play that they tried and didn't bite on that at all. Everybody was where they were supposed to be, keyed in on what their assignment was. And again, another really solid night defensively, as we've seen really for the last few years now.
I thought our kids were prepared. I hope as people watch us play, they understand how much film and stuff goes in and what these kids are going through during the week as far as their preparation. And felt like they were ready to go last night as far as knowing what was going on. Brevard gave us some different formations on offense, so they had to make a few adjustments. And then defensively, they slid the fronts a lot. They changed up fronts, trying to gimmick a little bit. And, of course, they walked up on our receivers. That was one thing that, we wanted to take advantage of. They walked that safety up in the box to try to contain the run and gave us one-on-one coverage out wide, and I think you saw us take advantage of that.
That's exactly right. You had a couple of big plays taking advantage of that and those sideline balls, and going over to the offense, Houston with some excellent throws and beating those coverages, and the guys, your guys out on the edge in terms of your receivers and one-on-one, most of the time they're going to make a play on the football. Again, we saw that last night and able to give us an early lead that we were able to kind of jump on them. And then you were able to do some things and take a look at some things that maybe you wanted to look at offensively too, I think.
The biggest thing for us, about 151 yards passing Houston did, but we only threw it 9 times. He was 6 for 9, 151 with 3 touchdowns. He was very good. He was on target with his throws. Really, out of all those 9 that we threw, I think there was only one that was a bad throw, but the rest of them were good. First time all season we've gone over 500 yards of offense. We were 508 last night. I think they were 225, so we doubled them up on total yardage. But the one thing, that we did too, and it hurts our defense a little bit, we scored quickly. We didn't have the long drives. And we've done a really good job working off of each other and the long drives and defense not having to be on the field. So they were on the field quite a bit more last night than usual. Daniel had that first long run, 77 yards. And then, of course, the defense had to go right back. So, we'll go back to work Sunday evening after we get some film and see what we got this week and how we can attack those guys.
And you talked about that defense. I thought that Brevard had a couple of pretty good players. I thought their quarterback looked really solid. A couple of times he'd break containment and get out there a little bit and make some plays with his legs. But, they've got a few players out there that can, cause some damage, I think. So it wasn't, there's no way you can look at the record and say what you want to, but that wasn't an easy task, I think. I think that, again, was a very good quarterback that we faced last night. And, again, no matter what we see, I think the defense tends to come through and be something you guys can really lean on.
He was Tanner Ellenberg.
Yeah.
He was 10 of 23 for 160 yards and a touchdown. I thought one of the things that he did a really good job with was carrying out his fake. He really sold his fakes. Got us caught up looking a couple of times. But, that's good quarterback play. Allowed his receivers to get open, gave himself a little bit more time. And, scrambled a little bit, got on the edge on us early. I thought we made some adjustments there at halftime and got that taken care of so he wasn't rushing free on the outside when he didn't have receivers open because we had good coverage. But, again, just thought we made some good adjustments there at halftime and got back out there and played well in the second half.
Flipping it to the other side again, you're talking about Daniel getting all these carries and all these yards. And, you know, I mentioned this maybe at the beginning of the season. I even asked the question, I think, after night one. Do you feel like that Daniel can get this many carries? And, you know, when we're talking about 30-plus or whatever it is, and continue to churn this out over the course of a season? And the answer to that has been yes. He is able to do that. And it seems to me no worse from the wear. And it's really good to have somebody like that that you can lean on in terms of opening up everything else that you want to do. And obviously there's reasons besides him that he's able to have that success. But it's nice to be able to lean on that for sure. Every single night we've seen that.
It is. You know, Daniel does a really good job of not taking hits straight on. They'll get some glancing hits on him, but 23 carries last night, 225 yards. Obviously had the big long one to start with a long touchdown, but he's done a really good job. You know, you mentioned it, can he take that, you know, starting from the beginning of the year? And obviously we're not playing him on defense and able to rest him there, and he's on some special teams for us, does a good job there too. But it all comes back to what we do up front. I thought we were really good and solid up front to start with. Got a little flat there in the second and third quarter, and then picked it back up in the fourth quarter and was able to finish it off.
Back with more in a moment. It's the Brett Chappell Show on WPTO.
Here come the holidays, and here come the holiday specials at Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza. Every man or young man wants a Case knife. There's a $5 rebate on the entire Case knife collection through Christmas at Hometown Hardware. And whether you get them to play with or collect, Hometown Hardware is having a John Deere metal toy promotion for you to check out. And be sure to browse all the pretties in Karen's Craft Corner at Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza on Radio Hill.
For a better price and better insurance coverage, call Samuel Freeman or Bradley Pope at the Freeman Agency. These two men are Pisgah graduates who bring you Erie Insurance with coverage for auto, home, business, and life. Sample Freeman Agency service at 1656 South Main Street, close to Walmart in Waynesville, or talk with Bradley or Samuel at 246-0546 about Erie Insurance for your everyday needs.
Back with the Brett Chappell Show this morning again. Took care of business against Brevard. You think that program's getting a little bit better now after we've seen, winless last year. Are they starting to get back up on that higher trajectory? Do you still think it's going to be a little bit before they're back where they were?
Yeah, they're more physical than they have been. Coach Pritchett has obviously got in there and done some more hitting and practices through the year. And, I thought their defense was more aggressive. It's a work in progress. The numbers were still low. The JV numbers were low. I know it's hard to come in, especially if you're a disciplinarian type coach, to come in and you've had a coach that you've followed that's been a little bit looser, and numbers were good. You know, that was one of the things that Coach Lippert had got hired for. They wanted to get the numbers up, and Jason did a really good job to get the numbers up. But I think as Craig has come in, I think with him bringing in the discipline part of it, I think he's probably lost a few kids because of it. But, you know, if they give him time, to establish his stuff and the way he does things and hopefully get those kids to buy back in, those numbers will go back up.
And it comes back out to, going through and getting in the halls and recruiting kids. Those kids are probably in those halls right now. It's just a matter of getting them out there. And what you're saying, again, is that, maybe you lost a few kids that might have been on the team but might have been potentially creating more problems than what they were worth. So, hopefully we'd like to see Brevard get back into that and be as competitive as it used to be. We've talked about that, too. We talked about how, their complexion of their program has changed, the complexion of their community has changed. But there's still reason for hope down there. And, again, coming from Transylvania County, there's, from your perspective, you don't ever see a situation where there would only be one high school, do you?
Not right now. I think that, obviously Rosman's still having some success. They're going to graduate a really good senior class this year. I think they're going to finish up fourth in their conference, as I looked last night. But, they're going to have to work really hard next year to keep where they're at. But when you're in schools on that size, it comes in cycles. You're going to have three or four years is going to be down, and you're going to pop back up and be really good again. So, you know, it's interesting to see and to watch as everything transpires there. Obviously, you know, Rosman had a little bit more success, has won that game against Brevard the last 3 years, and hadn't won it since like 1970-something before then. So, you know, I think you got two communities that are still split, you know, and the workforce, I think that's probably the best way to say it. You know, obviously the Rosman people that are up on that side, you know, are more the laborers and a lot like the people here in Bethel. You know, a lot of similarities. This area right here reminds me so much of Rosman. And, of course, at the Brevard side, you got a little bit more of the tourism stuff. But, you know, it all works out in the wash. But, you know, the bottom line for them is got great facilities. I think they have most of their coaches now at the high school, which is really good to help in that recruiting. And, you know, hopefully they'll give him some time, and hopefully he'll stay. I think that's a big thing, too, is not getting that turnover in coaches. Exactly. They've gone through three coaches in the last 5 years, and, you know, that takes a toll on kids, too.
When we look at, you know, from this point, look back at the conference in terms of the way things played out, maybe West was a little bit of a surprise, but you haven't had a chance to reflect on this yet. But, you know, looking back on it, did it shake out in a way that you thought that perhaps that it would, or were there some surprises in terms of the complexion of this conference this year?
You know, I tell you, the biggest surprise to me, there's actually two surprises. The biggest surprise to me was North Henderson. Didn't know how good they would be, and to come on and do what they did and took the third seed last night and knocked Tuscola to the fourth seed in the playoff bracket. I think that speaks volumes. They made a change right here last week and put that freshman quarterback on the varsity, moved the varsity quarterback to tailback, and doggone beat Smoky Mountain 31-7 last night. And Smoky was up at halftime. It's 7-6 and just came back and played really good in that second half. And, you know, I think Jason has done a really good job over there. Another example of giving him some time. You know, he's been there for about 3 or 4 years now and kind of got settled in. And, of course, we felt like West would be good because of how much they had coming back on defense. Had 10 starters coming back and felt like they would be good. A little bit disappointed in East. I thought they would be better than they were. You know, had a really good skill set coming back. Probably that we felt like the best in the conference. And, you know, they struggled. You know, so I think those were really the two biggest surprises to us was North Henderson and East.
Certainly a lot more parity this year than there has been the last couple of years, though.
Absolutely. And we started seeing it in the JVs, you know, last year and the year before that. And, of course, this year as well. I mean, you know, I think at least for our conference, one more year till we do realignment stuff, I think you're going to continue to see that as it translates up onto the varsity.
Yeah, so we'll have to wait and see how that all plays out. But, you know, while we're here, we'll hit on this real quick. You know, looking ahead a little bit to next year and beyond, you can't be any prouder than your JV program right now, having an undefeated season coming out of last night against multiple teams that were undefeated when we saw them. So it wasn't like there wasn't parity in the JV level. There certainly was, and some really, really good teams out there. But JV program, again, you never really know when you get started, when you combine the two schools, especially with those ninth graders at the beginning of the year, but you found out certainly at the end that you've got a very good group of ninth and tenth graders right now.
You know, we were kind of laughing about it last night. We went back and was watching the Swain film, you know, all the way back at that first scrimmage, and we left that place over there, and then, you know, you always kind of guess and see where you might be at by the end of the season with the JVs, and we couldn't stop running water. I mean, we were just not very good on defense. Felt like we could, you know, score some points, felt like we had a little bit of offense there, but really concerned on that defensive side, and they got back in on that Monday and made some good personnel changes, and I think as we go back and look at the season, you know, in years to come, I think that three-game stretch will be something that will continue to come up, you know, to have Franklin and then to have West and then to have Tuscola.
Right.
In two of those games, you win by 1 point. You know, I just think it speaks volumes about our kids and continuing to fight, continuing to do the things that you wanted them to do as far as coaching them and playing on the field and, you know, excited for those guys. You know, two really good stats I looked at from the JVs, Tanner Wyke had a little bit over 900 yards of passing for the season, and Brady Connor had about 950-something yards rushing. So, you know, that speaks well for what you're doing on that side of the ball. But, again, it's just kind of like our varsity and our guys up front. It all starts with those guys. You know, we went to, you know, Auburn this past year and spent some time down there in clinic, and I think the package that we brought back and put together has been really good for us. Obviously, we've sprinkled in some other things that we've had already, but I think the time we spent down there and, like I said, the package we brought back, has been very beneficial for us.
But do you, speaking of that, why there, I think it's a great point. When do you start looking at what you might want to change a little bit in terms of, and not to jump ahead, but when you start thinking about what you might want to look at a little bit differently in terms of the personnel that you have, and then you make a decision, okay, who best exemplifies that you can get to? Is that how that system works, and would you do that again?
Absolutely.
This coming spring?
Absolutely. The biggest thing that we looked at was personnel. What kind of personnel? We knew we had really good size up front, and the next kicker was having Michael, you know, having that big H-back, a big blocking back, and we liked being in the gun a little bit, and, of course, being able to gunner center, too. And, you know, it was just something that we had a connection down there.
Yeah.
You know, we reached out to them, and, you know, they were gracious enough to let us come in. You know, we spent more time offensively than defensively, so as we go into this spring, you know, we'll flip it. You know, I'll give Ricky a chance to kind of look around, see where they might want to go, and, you know, some things they can pick up defensively. And, you know, right now we're looking at Florida. We got a little bit of a connection down there as their defensive coordinator, Jeff Collins, somebody that was at Western with Coach Mathis, and Coach Hannah knows as well. So we got a little bit of a connection down there, and hopefully if the schedules work out, we'll spend some time down there with those guys, and Ricky and those guys can pick up some stuff. And, of course, we'll spend some time on the offense too. But, you know, last year we really stressed looking for some stuff offensively, and we'll flip it this year and really look at some stuff defensively.
Do you take a weekend in the wintertime to do that, or a week, or how does that typically work?
You know, last year we went on when they were doing spring practice.
Right.
You know, we wait till those seasons are over with and they, you know, post their schedule. We like to go down when there's not a lot of other coaches, you know, so we can just spend some time. Auburn was great. We got to watch two practices, and then they set us down in the film room and gave us the whole book for the season as far as films.
Wow.
So got to spend a lot of time one day, really all day on a Friday. I think we probably spent about 8 hours in there on film and had some coaches come in and talk with us, and it was just very beneficial. You know, and I think that, you know, the colleges are really reaching out to the high schools, which is great to see. You're seeing so many high school coaches now jumping to college. Mm-hmm. I mean, Gus Malzahn was a high school coach.
Right.
You know, Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss was a high school
coach.
Don't
get any ideas.
No, certainly not. But it's been, you know, it's great to see those guys have some success because they all started in the same place. You know, so anyways, we'll go back and check the schedules once the season's over with in college football, and hopefully we can make it work. And usually we'd like to spend about a 3 or 4 day, you know, week.
Can you take everybody? Do you have the ability to take everybody that you want to, or is it hard to do that?
No, we try to. Obviously, there'll be some hiccups in there. You know, the biggest thing in aggravated Coach Brindley, he's going to help Coach Morgan, Coach Morgan in softball, and so we've got to get permission from her, I guess, before we can get everything set up for his softball schedule.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he'll have quite as where he already has his work cut out for him doing what he does and with that big family of his. But, again, I think that's a really neat deal that you guys are able to do that. And it, again, doesn't hurt to know people at that next couple of levels to be able to make some of those things happen. We'll take a quick time out, be back with more of the Brett Chappell Show in a moment. WPTL, the voice of the Black Bears.
Plus, linen and uniform service makes business life easier. With floor mats to keep winter slush in check, linen service, and uniforms for a complete professional look, call 648-2384. A representative from Plus will explore your needs and provide a quote. From small beauty shops and local garages to offices and large institutions, Plus Linen and Uniform Service has served Western North Carolina and Upper South Carolina for nearly 90 years. And Plus proudly backs the Bears.
This is Chad Upton for Pisgah Family Barbershop in their new location. Take a short drive out Champion Drive and enjoy plenty of store-wide parking. Inside, Pisgah Family Barbershop's well-known hospitality, with Ken Warren and his crew providing excellent haircuts for men, women, and children. For style and convenience, you'll be a regular at the new location of Pisgah Family Barbershop on Champion Drive across from Burger King, I-40, exit 31.
Back with the Brett Chappell Show this morning. Real quick, just to catch everybody up on some of the scores that we've got from last night. Freedom again winning over Patton 46-0. We think Freedom could play Patton again next week, first round of the playoffs, and won against the 16. Statesville a winner last night, 37-34 over South Iredale. Carson 41-14 over Cox Mill. High Brighton over Hickory 48-24. It was St. Stephens beating Ford last night 48-25. Hickory Ridge upsetting West Rowan 28-21. East Gaston losing last night pretty bad to Forest View. one point, ends up winning that game 56-48, 104 points scored in that football game. Southwest Randolph 34-14 over West Guilford. South Point, again, we feel like is going to be in the top two seeds, shutting out Stuart Kramer last night 56-0. North Henderson, again, as Coach Chappell said a moment ago, beating Smoky last night, 31-7. West pulling away from East last night, 48-21. Franklin, again, over Tuscola, 35-21. Of course, our score, again, was 34-14. Kings Mountain shutting out East Burke, 34-0. Another score of interest for folks. Crest ended up beating Shelby last night, 40-33, in what sounded like a wild game. And Coach, we were just talking about this a little bit. Obviously, you've got to spend a little bit of time trying to understand where things lie and how things are. It could potentially play out in the first round, but again, we've got a really solid feeling about where things stand right now, and your feeling, my feeling too, I think, is that we certainly will have an opportunity, we think, to be able to play a home game, and then we'll see where it goes from there with all the things that we can't control. Still some decisions to be made, but got to feel pretty good about where things stand right there.
You know, we've given ourselves the opportunity to have a home game. That was a big thing. That was a big thing we stressed last night. You know, get that win, give ourselves a chance, and you know, you can't control what everybody else does, but make sure you control what you've done, and I thought our kids did a really good job of that. And I think it speaks volumes about our conference. I mean, you're going to have four 3As. This is going to be in that 3A bracket. I mean, you're looking at it, obviously us, and you're looking at West and North Henderson and Tuscola. And then you look in the 2A side of it, you're going to have Franklin, and you're going to have Smoky Mountain. You got six out of the eight teams, you know, have made the playoffs out of our conference. And I think that really speaks well. You know, there's been some, you know, conversations in the last couple of years. It's been real top heavy. The conference has been, and you know, this year there just seemed to be a lot more parity, and like I said, that's a good thing. When you have games like that, it brings a lot of interest back out and the fans back out to watch good football.
We were talking about some of the potential opponents in the first round, kind of thinking right now, Carson, High Brighton, St. Stephens, maybe Statesville perhaps, might be one of the teams that we see in the first round. And again, you know, if we can find a way, do you feel like there's an opportunity or at least a chance we might be able to slip into the top four?
You know, I do. I just kind of looking at it last night on based on some scores, and again, we're just guessing. You know, it's kind of like placing that bet.
Sure.
We're just guessing about where we're at. You know, I think with some of the games that happened down east last night, I feel like we've got a chance at a 4-5 seed. It just seems like it may shake out to where they have to flip with Kings Mountain down the state and, you know, see where we go. I still think you're right in what you're saying, High Brighton, St. Stephens, and Jesse Carson. I think those are certainly the three that, you know, looks like we may play. But again, you know, we could go as high as a 7, but I still think just the way it looked last night that, you know, 4-5 looks kind of to be where it's at. And people are forgetting, too, everybody's basing off of this, you know, all this off of Crest and Concord being big. They have to go back and see who qualifies first.
Right.
You know, if for some reason there's more that qualify in the big 3A, then they're going to drag that number up higher.
You're going to have to.
And pick up Concord and Crest. So right now everything's based off of it. But I won't be surprised to see, you know, obviously some more shakeups. You know, they'll send out that preliminary probably around 3 o'clock, and it'll change 4 or 5 times before it gets finalized. But, you know, I feel like we'll probably know something, you know, around 6 o'clock in the evening.
So if you don't mind, I can't answer that. Why do you send out a preliminary and then – have to go back and make changes? What's going on in that period of time that you've got to, what haven't they taken into account that they'll start taking into account at 3 o'clock on Saturday?
The biggest thing, you know, when they send out that preliminary, it gives the coaches a chance to go back and look at what records have been turned in, what places they finished in the conference, and if there's a mistake, they have to go back and reseed. And so they give the coaches the opportunity to go back and look at the bracket, you know, to make that phone call into the state if there's something that needs to be changed. For instance, North Henderson and Tuscola, you know, they might put Tuscola ahead of North Henderson, but, it, you know, once that comes out, you know, Coach Dinwiddie would call and say, listen, we beat them head-to-head, we get the higher seed. You know, so you got scenarios like that that you're looking at, and you got to remember you're looking at, you know, throughout the state, so it's a lot of teams involved.
Absolutely. Who's in that room making those decisions?
You know, Q Tucker is in that room, obviously the director right now, and you know, some more brass down there in the NCHSAA. As far as the coin flip goes, the Football Coaches Association has a representative. Sam Story is the gentleman's name. It used to be Coach Taylor from Shelby. Coach Taylor was the representative, and he's actually the one that does the flip. You know, when you got, for instance, if it happens to come down to us in Kings Mountain for a 4-5 seed, he would actually do the flip. And, of course, then the brackets would come out and all of those things. But got a chance to talk to Coach Story last year as I was on one of those committees. And, you know, he said, Coach, he said, it's done the right way. I did the flip. Uh-huh. And so, anyways, at least we feel like we've got a representative down there. Obviously, it's not one of us, but, you know, feel good about how they're doing it.
And so, you know, that person, just to ensure that there isn't any, you know, crazy things or something that wouldn't be equitable for everybody, that, you know, it's kind of like having, you know, in the NFL Players Association, a Players Association person involved in some of the decisions that gets made along with the NFL. So as opposed to trying to find a way to get you guys to central location, there's no way that could possibly be done.
No, you know, they don't do that. Now, if you have a situation in the conference, obviously you'll take care of that night. For instance, if we would have had a three-way tie for a position, you know, we would have had to have met, you know, David being the conference president here, coaches would have came here, we'd have had our coin flip. He had to have all that stuff turned in by 12 o'clock last night to the state so they can start this seating process. So that's kind of how that works. And, again, you know, we've got that representative and Coach Story, who was a longtime coach, 35 years and retired. And, you know, just like Jim Taylor at Shelby, Jim had retired too. These coaches weren't doing that while they were still coaching. Yeah. You know, there wasn't a disadvantage there by any means. But, you know, Coach Taylor did a really good job representing us for a long time. And Coach Sam Story's in there now. And, you know, we'll see what happens. Hopefully he gives us a good flip today.
Yeah, absolutely. Going before our last break real quickly, update in terms of injury-wise and where we stand coming out of last night, best to your knowledge.
You know, Trey dinged up a hand a little bit. Obviously, we'll get back and check him. Didn't see much swelling on it, so we don't think.
Wasn't fingers. It was a wrist or hand?
Well, we thought it was a wrist to start with, but it's actually, you know, on that fifth metatarsal right there. So they're thinking, you know, possibly, you know, you could have some separation and some cartilage or possible fracture. But we didn't see the swelling, so, you know, we're hopeful nothing's on that end, and we'll get him checked again on Monday and go from there.
It's good to see that going in the first round, relatively healthy. Back in just a moment, WPTL, the voice of the Black Bears.
For a better price and better insurance coverage, call Samuel Freeman or Bradley Pope at the Freeman Agency. These two men are Pisgah graduates who bring you Erie Insurance with coverage for auto, home, business, and life. Sample Freeman Agency service at 1656 South Main Street, close to Walmart in Waynesville, or talk with Bradley or Samuel at 246-0546 about Erie Insurance for your everyday needs.
Here come the holidays, and here come the holiday specials at Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza. Every man or young man wants a case knife. There's a $5 rebate on the entire case knife collection through Christmas at Hometown Hardware. And whether you get them to play with or collect, Hometown Hardware is having a John Deere metal toy promotion for you to check out. And be sure to browse all the pretties in Karen's Craft Corner at Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza on Radio Hill.
Plus Linen and Uniform Service makes business life easier. With floor mats to keep winter slush in check, linen service, and uniforms for a complete professional look. Call 648-2384. A representative from Plus will explore your needs and provide a quote. From small beauty shops and local garages to offices and large institutions, Plus Linen and Uniform Service has served Western North Carolina and Upper South Carolina for nearly 90 years. And Plus proudly backs the Bears.
Back to finish up last segment here, Brad Chappell Show. So everything's all set out. You've done everything that you can do at this point in terms of the regular season. Get ready to go playoff-wise. Talk, if you don't mind, just a little bit. You know, we've got just a couple minutes. If you, again, don't mind a little bit about what it's going to look like, both for you guys as a coaching staff and for the team in the next, you know, 48 hours or so, trying to get ready to go against it in the first round.
You know, we'll hopefully get those brackets come out and finalized this afternoon, and I'll talk to the coach, whoever it is we're playing, get some film traded. We're scheduled to meet, you know, Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock as the coaches come in. You know, we usually do everything on Saturday morning, obviously we don't know anything right now. So we'll meet about 5 o'clock Sunday evening and start breaking it down. We'll go through a regular routine as far as watching a film with the kids on Monday and getting back out. You know, continuing to be healthy, continuing to be fresh. You know, I think our team is at a good place right now.
Yeah.
house. So hopefully we'll have a good week of practice and go into that. And, you know, your dad was asking me, you know, just a second ago about the officiating last night. Did we feel pretty good about it? And I don't know if everybody noticed, we had an official that was actually on our sideline last night with the clipboard. And when we get to this time of the year, we've got officials that come in, and these guys are getting graded, you know, on things. And why they're getting graded, they're trying to get playoff games. The state will go back and review and, you know, kind of look and see how they've graded. And it's almost like one of those things where that state trooper is trying to, you know, fill his void for the month.
Yeah, he has quota.
And get a few tickets, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that was what was happening with Mr. Ellerby on the far
I
side.
I see.
He filled his quota real early in the game.
I understand.
And then he didn't throw any more after that. But, anyways, it was.
He kind of checked off the notebook, yeah, and he was done for the evening.
He checked it off, and I think they had six penalties, and we had six. So, you know, fairly even on that. But, you know, it is what it is, and those guys got a job to do, too. And certainly they want to get playoff games. That's just more exposure for them.
And again, when you're talking about playoff games, you have a, you know, what officiating would you see into the playoffs, especially with home games?
The first two rounds, we would get our association.
Okay.
I think after that's when you go, you'll get another association from down east, you know, if you actually have to be the home game. So, you know, like I said, those guys are doing a job too, and trying to get some exposure and you know, get those playoffs games and possibly get a state championship game.
Right.
And, you know, those guys are getting graded on what they do, you know, during the game and film and things like that. And, but I don't know if anybody noticed that. We had one that was, you know, on our sideline with a clipboard last night.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, just going through his stuff, grading those guys.
Yeah, so we'll have to just wait and see how that all shakes out. And everything, you know, still a lot to be determined here as we go through the next few hours or so. I will tell you that I will get the best information I can in terms of the brackets and get those to Tim so he can get them up on our website, WPTLRadio.net. I know Chuck will do the same thing on his website, themountaineer.com. And then we'll go to work from there and start talking about and thinking about next week. We'll be on the air again. 6:30 will be our air time. 7 o'clock, our game broadcast will begin. And then we'll be right back here again next Saturday morning at 8 a.m. for the Brett Chappell Show. For head coach Brett Chappell, Ryan Castle back in the studio. This is Chad Upton. The Flea Market's next. So long, everybody.